Amen. Come on, raise it up like a good soldier. Raise it up high. Amen. Say, this is my Bible. This is how my God speaks to me. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I can have. I do what it says I can do. Today, as I behold in the mirror of the living Word of God, the image of God, the likeness of God, I am being changed. I'm not the same. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm getting better. I'm looking better. I'm feeling better. Because this word is living. It's active. Come on. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. You may have a seat on your lunch meat today in Jesus' name. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It seems like we got a birthday in the house. Amen. Stand up for a minute. Sister Mimi, amen. Amen. She, you know what? She came down here from Detroit, and she said the sole purpose of her coming here was to change her life. Come on, amen. I believe her family was Jehovah's Witness. She gave her life to Jesus the other night, Wednesday, and she went out right after that and got hired at one of the jobs around here. Amen. Amen. She's a single mother with two kids, and she do a wonderful job taking care of her kids. Why don't y'all just stand up and let's just all look at her and just sing happy birthday to her. Is that all right? Can we do that? We all family. Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mimi. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We love you. We're so glad. We're so proud of you. Amen. If you want to bless her with something, you can just give it to me. I'll see to it that she might get it. Amen. Praise God. Also, Outcry 2010. Amen. Please sign up in the back. We do need assistance. We had about 8 or 10 people sign up, and we need more people to sign up to assist us. Amen. What we're trying to do, not what we're trying, what we are going to do is we're going to break the cycle of having the same group of people do the work all the time. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is our opportunity to serve the community. Amen. We're going to serve the community. We're going to do it right here in our own parking lot. In the parking lot right here, we're going to have food. We're going to have fun. We're going to have fellowship. Amen. There's going to be games. The teen ministry is going to be open up for kids to come in and play pool, different things like that, watch videos and stuff. We're just going to have a great time. There's going to be performances by G-Rod. There's going to be performances by Big Shadow. There's going to be performances by, amen, Minister Julie Page and V8 and a whole bunch of other people. So please come on out. Let's have a great time. It's going to be Saturday the 25th from the time? 1:30. Okay, we need to know the time. 1:30 until 8 o'clock? Amen. Praise God. Okay. Amen. So, y'all ready for the word? Amen. Praise God. Well, here we go. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 20. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 20. I hope you brought your steak knife today. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 20, and then we're going to go back over to Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Man, the Spirit of God is just so good, ain't he? Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now. You think through my mind and speak through my lips. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. I thank you. I have the tongue of the Lord. I've been taught by you, Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Somebody say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. It says, for you have not, make sure every mic is off except mine. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, before I go on, I want to make sure you understand what the word adoption means. Adoption does not mean that God felt sorry for you, amen, and brought you into the household like you was orphan Annie, amen? It does not mean that. The word adoption is inaccurately translated because the actual Greek word says the spirit that produces sonship. Somebody say the spirit that produces sonship. Amen. In the mind of God, when you and I got born again, when we got born again, amen, God gave us an inheritance. He gave us an inheritance of glory, the Bible says it in Ephesians chapter 1. And that inheritance is on the inside of every individual believer. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 And God wants us to move through a transition of being an infant. Somebody say infant. To being a child. Somebody say child. To be an adolescent, somebody say adolescent, to be in a full-grown adult in the faith so you can obtain your inheritance as a believer. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God. The word led means that you're under the control of the Spirit of God. You're taught by the Spirit of God. You're under the government of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is your source for living. We've been teaching, and if you haven't been here, you need to get the messages. We have a message back there called the Holy Spirit, our helper. The Holy Spirit, our comforter. No human being on planet Earth was born to live their life outside of a partnership or a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. The Spirit of God that's on the inside of you is more than just, you know, a feeling. He's more than just goosebumps. He's more than just something that makes your hair stand up on your arms. The Spirit of God on the inside of you is your life coach. He will lead you, he will guide you, and he will direct you into all truth. He will expose error. Come on. He'll expose error, and he will make Jesus plainly seen to the individual that is hungering and thirsting after him. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. No human, no man, no woman, not one of us is without excuse. We have access to God Almighty. You better catch what I'm saying. My God, I taught you about the mercy seat. Come on, somebody say the mercy seat. In the Greek, in the Hebrew language, the word kaporth, it was a 2,000-pound cap that set upon the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. And then the high priest Aaron would go in and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Amen. And the Bible says, God said, this is where I will meet my people. And the Bible calls Jesus the propitiation or the propitiatory for our sin, which is the same word. Jesus is the mercy seat. So Jesus became the very way or the very access for you and I to get into constant, unbroken fellowship with God Almighty. You better catch what I'm saying. Amen. Jesus paved the pathway for your success, your entire life success. Not just getting you born again and getting you free from sin. Jesus paid the price for you to obtain your inheritance. Somebody say amen. 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 Somebody say, I got an inheritance. My God. Look at this. Let's go on down. It says, verse 17, and if children, somebody say children. Then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Somebody say suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Or the actual Greek says glorified together with him. Verse 18, for I reckon, I summed up, I made an account of everything. I put it all down on paper and I figured this out, that the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory of God that's going to be revealed in me. My God. See, when you got born again, you got born again from a sinful nature. Guess what? And your mind had to get renewed, and you're used to living according to the dictates and the appetites of your own flesh. But somebody say, God wants you to grow up. Come on, somebody say, God wants you to grow up. God don't want you to grow up so you can go to heaven. Amen. God wants you to grow up so you can obtain your inheritance right here, right now on planet Earth. God don't want you to stay stuck in infancy stage. He don't want you to be a baby, always sucking on a bottle, always laying in somebody's lap, dookieing in the diaper. Somebody got to change your mess. You better catch what I'm saying. Always complaining and murmuring all the time when something go wrong. God wants you to grow up. God wants you to start taking the meat of the word of God. Put that bottle down and stop sipping on that little milk. Come on, somebody say amen. So you can be who he called you to be. Ain't nobody called no higher than anybody else. Every individual on planet Earth, God has a preordained, predetermined, predestined, prearranged purpose for you. Before you was in your mother's womb, God knew you. God ordained you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what womb you came out of. I don't care what side of the tracks you was raised on. You have purpose. You are purpose embodied, baby. And when you walk down the street, God wants to reveal that purpose on the inside of you. God wants to manifest his glory on the inside of you, and he want to manifest it through you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. God is too good. Amen. He is too good. Somebody say, I have an inheritance. You have an inheritance because the Bible says you are an heir. You are an heir. Inheritance, by definition, is property passing at the owner's death to the heir or the entitled to succeed. It means birthright, portion, or heritage. I'm going to read it again. An inheritance is property passing at the owner's death to the heir or to the entitled to succeed. It's your birthright. It's your portion. It's your heritage. See, it's your birthright to be blessed. It's your birthright to be healed. It's your birthright to find the right husband. It's your birthright to find the right wife. You better catch what I'm saying. It's your birthright to build businesses. It's your birthright to build schools. It's your, you better catch what I'm saying. It's your birthright.
Amen.
Man, I'm preaching. Somebody better start responding. Amen. It's your birthright. It's your portion. It's your heritage. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. For this is my heritage as a servant of the Lord. This your heritage. It's your portion to be blessed. Glory be to God. Come on, somebody say, God want me blessed. Listen, God wants you blessed more than you want to be blessed. God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. God wants you fixed in every area of your life more than you want. Why? Because when you're fixed, when you're healed, when you're blessed, God gets the glory. You better catch what I'm saying. Because they know where you come from. They know you was broke as a joke. They know that you was sick in a mug. They know that you was twisted in your mind. And all of a sudden, when you found Jesus, and all of a sudden he fixed you, they know it couldn't have been nobody else but Jesus that fixed you. Glory to God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews 6, verse 12. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hebrews 6, verse 12. Amen. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. You're not going to get blessed. You are blessed. I'm going to teach you something to say. You're not going to get blessed. Oh, I got a blessing. No, baby. When you got born again, you got the sum total of the blessing. When you got born again, you got saved. When you got born again, you got healed. When you got born again, you got delivered. That's what the word salvation means. You got fixed all the way, every whit whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. But the problem is that as a believer, we have to start appropriating the promises of God. We got to start receiving the promises of God. Amen. And what hinders us from receiving them, we're going to find it out today. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hebrews 6 and 12. Look at this right here. It says that you be not slothful. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't you be slothful. It said, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Somebody say the promises of God. Oh my God, I'm 40 years old. I'll be 40 years old in about 6 months. And I did not realize what this word promise meant. But last night, I was in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord challenged me. He said, go look at this word promise and see what it meant. It's two words, pro and then mise. Somebody say pro and then mise. Pro mean beforehand and then mise mean contract or settlement. It means that, listen, before you got here, God had a contract with you. God had a settlement with you. That's what a promise is. He say he gonna do something, that means he gonna do it.
Amen.
You better catch what I'm saying. If God say he gonna do something, that means he's going to do it. If he say he gonna heal you, that means he gonna heal you. If he say he gonna feel you, that means he gonna... My God, you better catch what I'm saying. God is not a man that he should lie. God won't say he gonna do one thing, turn around and do another thing. My God, let me just show it to you in the word right quick. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now look at verse 17 and verse 18. It says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the who? The heirs. Tell yourself, say, I'm an heir.
I'm an heir.
An heir of what? Heir of what? Promise. the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The word immutable means it cannot change.
Yeah.
Come on. See, when God says something, it's immutable. It cannot change. God cannot tell a lie. When God gives an oath, the word oath means he makes a vow. If he says it, that settles it. Come on, you better catch what I'm saying. If we don't receive it, it's because we don't believe it. Come on. Lord, have mercy. We only receive what we believe. Come on. My God. Look at this right here. I'm about to show you one more time before we go on to what we get into. Somebody get your steak knife out. Turn to the book of Malachi. Lord, have mercy. This one right here is so powerful. I read this one 100 times. Let's go to it again. Malachi chapter 3. Let's look at verse 6. Let's read it all together. For I am the, I change. Come on. For I am the. The word Lord there in the Hebrew language is where we get the word Jehovah from. But there's no J's and there's no V's in the Hebrew language, so his name is pronounced Yahuwah. So that's where we get the word Yahuwah from. Or we say Jehovah, but it's Yahuwah. He said, I am the Lord. When you look up that word Lord in the Hebrew language, it means the self-existent one. It means the eternal one. Listen, when God says something, amen, out of him being self-existent, out of him being eternal, out of him being the very means by which everything you and I see exists, when he says it, that settles it.
Amen.
See, we got to settle this in our spirit. If God tells you something, you can bank on that.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, we're moving past religion because religion just comes to get a word and to feel good. But we're talking about people who obtain the promises through faith and through patience. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Here we go. We're going. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. Look at there. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. You learning something today? We going somewhere, I'll tell you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 20. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm an heir.
Yeah.
I'm an heir. That's what Lecrae said, I'm an heir. Just say that right there, I'm an heir. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, look at this right here. It says, for how many? All the promises of God in him are what? Yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, if you just read that real fast, you'll mess up what he's trying to say. You got to read it slow. Look at what it says. It says, for all. How many?
All.
That means nothing is left over after all. All the promises of God. Now, you just find out what a promise is. A promise is something that's been spoken beforehand. It's a legal binding contract, a settlement that when God says it, that's it. You hear what I'm saying? He says, for all the promises of God in him, tell your neighbor, say, I am in him. Come on, say it again. I am in him. See, that's the problem. Let me just take a little bunny trail right quick. Most Christians have not identified themselves as being in Christ yet. You still see yourself as a dirty old rotten sinner, and you don't see yourself as being in Christ. If any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things have passed away. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've done it to. Guess what? In the minds of God, it doesn't exist no more. You better catch what I'm saying. It's been blotted out, the Bible says. See, when Jesus sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat, guess what? Your sin wasn't big enough to compare with his blood. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to say it again. Your sin wasn't big enough to compare with his blood. The Bible said where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. Lord, have mercy. So if you are the one that is remembering your past, you need to stop remembering your past. You need to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. It's quite unfortunate, some of the things that some of us have been through. But guess what? Use that old man and that past to glorify God. Now let's check it out right here. He says, and in him, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The word amen means so be it. Now watch this right here. It says, unto the glory. Somebody say, unto the glory. Of God by us. He's letting you know when you receive the promises, it gives God glory.
Yes.
When you receive the promises, it gives God glory. Come on, somebody say that. When I receive the promises, it gives God glory. It makes God look good. Don't you love when you see kids and stuff and they dress good and they look good and all that good stuff like that? You know the parents done something right. But when you see a kid running around and they all nappy head and something wrong like that, you know something going on with the parents. I just said something real strong. I'm not talking about parents. I use an analogy. See, when you and I look good, it makes God look good. But when you and I look sick, it don't make God look good. When you and I look poor, it don't make God look good. When you and I look broken down and feeble and weak, it don't make God look good. You better catch what I'm saying. Lord, have mercy. Jesus is Lord. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Now, let's go back and let's begin to find out these stages that we must go through in order to inherit the promises of God. Amen. Somebody say the first one is infancy. You better write these down because I'm about to give you something strong today. The first one is infancy. And I'm going to be blunt. I'm going to say some things today. It's going to be very, very strong. Somebody say amen. Amen. The stage of infancy is babyhood. Somebody say babyhood. It's the very early in-child stage. The beginning or earliest stage of anything. Okay? Now, babies. These are some of the characteristics of babies. You ready? Number one, they're not able to speak properly. Number two, they're still crawling. Some of them ain't even crawling yet. I got something for that. Number three, you got to change their diaper. Amen. They cry and whine all the time. And they're totally dependent. Number one, they're not able to speak properly. Number two, some of them ain't even crawling yet, but some of them crawl. Number three, you got to change their diapers. Number four, they cry and whine all the time. Number five, they're totally dependent. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1. And I'm going somewhere with this right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1. Amen. Now, every person, when they get born again, they're immediately born into this stage called a babe in Christ. Amen. Every person, when they get born again, let me just tell you something. God does not skip steps. I'm still preaching. God does not skip steps. Every person, when they're born, look at your neighbor. You don't have no special relationship with God to where God's going to skip steps for you. Every person, when they're born into the body of Christ as a babe in Christ. Now watch this right here. You're going to see some of these characteristics. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. Look at this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with what? And not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are you not carnal and walk as men? The actual Greek says walk as mere men. The word carnal means to be body ruled or ruled by your sense realm. The Bible identifies babes in Christ as those who are ruled by their sense realm. They're governed by what they hear, what they can see, what they can touch, what they can smell. You hear what I'm saying? They're governed by those five senses. Amen. Babes in Christ. Somebody say, babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. Okay? Like I said, babies are not able to speak properly. They haven't yet understood the power of their words. You can identify yourself if you are a babe in Christ by what's coming out of your mouth. The book of Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21 says this right here, that a man or a woman's belly shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of their lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, death or life, they shall eat the fruit thereof. You can identify yourself if you are a babe in Christ by what's coming out of your mouth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, why am I teaching like this? Why? Because I'm a pastor. And I want to see you graduate from babe to childhood to adolescence to adulthood. So now I can't identify where you are. It's not my job to point a finger. It's up to you to identify where you are so that you can grow. Okay? So that you can grow. Somebody say grow.
Grow.
Watch this. The next one. They are still crawling, My analogy for that the Holy Ghost gave me is that they haven't yet learned how to walk by faith. Come on, somebody say amen. See, you can identify yourself as a babe in Christ if you have not yet learned how to walk by faith. Listen, faith is not a belief system. Faith is adhering to, making God's word your final authority and acting on it. That's living by faith. It's not, well, what faith are you of? No. Don't get confused with that. That's garbage. Somebody say that's garbage. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. See, you can identify yourself. If you're a babe in Christ, you haven't yet learned how to speak properly. That's what Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 says. Turn over there right quick. I know we're supposed to go there, but I just got to show you this right quick. I'm going to show you. In the scripture, you can see what hinders our inheritance. Galatians 4 and 1. Look at this right here. It says, now I say that the who? The heir. Y'all there yet? Am I going too fast? Amen. You want me to slow down? Galatians 4 and 1. You ready? It says, now I say that the heir. Somebody said the heir. I am an heir. Come on, say it. Say, I am an heir.
I am an heir.
Man, how lovely would it be to be an heir to Donald Trump? How lovely would it be to be an heir to Bill Gates? I just told the church a month ago that Bill Gates and his wife and about six other philanthropists came together, and their goal is to give away $600 billion, not million, $600 billion to charities. How good would it be to be an heir to Bill Gates? Well, listen to this right here. Bill Gates is not even a centimeter in the mind of God. Amen. The Bible says, how unsearchable are God's ways past finding out. You got to catch what I'm saying. Bill Gates is just one person that God created. Just one person. And Ted Turner, just one person that God created. So if you think it would be wonderful to be an heir to Bill Gates, how much more understanding that you are an heir to God? And a joint heir to Jesus Christ. Joint heir means that you are a sharer in common. That means that whatever Jesus has, you have. You got to elevate your thinking. Whatever he has, you have. You're not going to get it. You already have it right now. Come on, somebody say, I already have it right now. Glory be to God. I'm going to give you a confirmation scripture right quick. Help me, Holy Ghost. Where is that scripture at, Holy Ghost? Romans chapter 8. Turn it right quick. Romans chapter 8. I thank you, Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm going to Galatians chapter 4. I'm still going there, but I got to show you something. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I want you to see something right here. I want you to see this right here. And then we're going back to Galatians chapter 4. When you get there, somebody say, praise God. Look at this right here. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, what is in all? Is anything left over after all? Come on, that means everything pertaining to your life and godliness has already been given to you.
Amen.
The Bible said, with him, he will freely give you all things. Lord, have mercy. That's something to shout about right there. With him, you have freely obtained all things. Now, go back to Galatians chapter 4. So, here's what we want to etch in your mind. You don't have to get anything. You already have it. Come on, say it. Say, I don't have to get anything. I already have it. See, we got to shake that Pharaoh mentality. See, because Pharaoh done taught us to do the 40-hour week thing for the rest of our life and get broke down and then, you know what I mean? I don't know if I got enough money put up in retirement. Listen to it right here. I had a man that's very successful. He told me these exact words about health insurance and about medical insurance. He said, rich people ain't concerned about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about rich people. You get a $10,000 life insurance policy. Come on. So we got to elevate our mind. Come on, say elevate your mind.
Elevate your mind.
You know what I mean? Glory be to God. Am I preaching to myself?
No.
Look at this right here. Galatians chapter 4. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child. Circle the word child. The word child there is translated not able to speak yet. Okay? You could be the heir. He said, differing nothing from a servant. One translation says slave. So you can own everything, but yet still be treated like a pauper, still be treated like a slave because you are not able to speak yet. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You are not able to act above being an infant or a childhood stage. Lord have mercy. Look at this. He said, but he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Now, here's what I want to bring out. Whoever seen that movie a long time ago called Brewster's Millions? Whoever seen that? Brewster's Millions. What was his name? He's a comedian. Richard Pryor. Brewster's Millions. I vaguely remember the movie, but it came in my spirit last night that he had an inheritance of a whole lot of money, but he had to spend a certain amount of money. Somebody said he had to spend a certain amount of money in order to get the big money. Okay? Now, here's what I'm saying. It was his inheritance, but his inheritance was conditional. This is your inheritance, but your inheritance is conditional. Man, that's enough to go home on right there. See, I would not give a Mercedes-Benz to a five-year-old to drive. Come on. I would not give a $200,000 house, amen, for a teenager to live in. Because all the walls going to be graffiti. Hey, they're going to have all kind of magazines and nails in the walls. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Because teenagers don't value nothing because they still riding off the grace of their parents. Until they get adults, then they understand what their parents was talking about. But while they're teenagers, they think they know more than their parents. Somebody say amen to this. I ain't just picking on the teenagers because there are people that are spiritually in the body of Christ that are in the stage of adolescence and they think they know more than their parents. Somebody say amen to this. Look at this right here. Here we go. So we settled. You can have an inheritance and not obtain your inheritance based upon your behavior. Amen. Somebody better be taking notes. You got to change their diaper. You got to change children's diapers everywhere they go. Listen, one thing about a kid, they don't care if they're over your house, my house. They could be at the president's house. They could be over the pastor's house. You better catch what I'm saying. They got to take a dookie. They take a dookie. Here's my analogy. When you are spiritually in a position of being a child or being an infant, you'll drop a mess anywhere you go. Mess just seems to follow you. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Because you need to know, you go somewhere and you always smelling boo-boo, guess what? You better check your drawers. Maybe you bringing the boo-boo everywhere you going. Put that on the radio, Mike. Somebody say that's real talk. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Glory to God. You carry junk from one place to the next place. And don't care about who you inflict. You just go there and drop it. Blop. You know what I mean? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Holy Ghost, help me. Tell your neighbor, say, God still love you, but you're a babe in Christ. The next one, they cry and they whine all the time. Come on, don't babies just do that? I was up here and I think my little nephew, Stephanie's son, was back here. That's my nephew. I love him. It's all right. I'm used to him. I talk to her on the phone. I can hear her shaking him. And I was like, Pastor, I got that. I'm used to him though now. Amen. But a babe in Christ always crying all the time. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Nobody here doing nothing for me. Everybody always talking about me. Nobody ever doing this. Nobody ever doing that. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen, I ain't mad at you. I'm just telling you, you are a babe in Christ.
Amen.
Come on, get a Lord a hand clap. Amen. The last one, they're totally dependent. They have not yet come to the stage where, let me tell you something about dependent people. Dependent people are needy people. Don't nobody like to be around a needy person too long. I don't care how much love you got for God. Let's just grow up by the Christ. Come on, everybody clap your hands. Come on, let's just grow up. Don't get mad, don't get mad, don't get mad, don't get mad. But we only going to change your diapers for so long. You know what I mean? We only going to change your diapers for so long. Pretty soon somebody going to get up in your face. I had a pastor get in my face. He put his finger in my face. He said, boy, if you don't do what I tell you to do, he said, I'm going to cut you off. You better hear what I'm saying. See, at some point in your life, you got to put on something other than a diaper. You got to exchange that diaper for some Fruit of the Loom or something. I don't know. I don't care if you're going to wear the whitey tighties or the skippy doos, or you're going to wear the Superman ones, or maybe some of you guys like the leopard underwear. I don't know what it is that you wear, but you better take them diapers off and put something else on. Come on, somebody say amen. We talking real talk today, ain't we? Amen. Skippy doo. Amen. Oh, I can't say that right there. The Holy Ghost, he didn't let me say that right. How about say something? Lord, have mercy. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Y'all ready for it? Somebody say, we getting it today. Tell your neighbor, say, we're going to grow up, all of us. Amen. Sorry, Nick. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Look at this right here. Look at verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envies, and evil speakings. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, here is the antidote to you being a babe in Christ. Get the milk of the word. Now, here's the key that you need to know about the milk of the word. The milk of the word, somebody else have to give it to you first. Come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody else have to give it to you first. You know what I mean? You got to warm it, squirt it on their hand, test it, make sure it's all right. Because if they give it to you too hot, or they give it to you too cold, or you understand, or they give it to you too thick. Like when I was a young father, my daughter Nicole right here, she's still alive, y'all, but I almost killed her, man. I'm telling you. Listen, I didn't have no knowledge about having a baby, and we had an apartment, and me and my wife took that, whatever it was, Infamil and all that stuff, and we put it in a bottle, and her stuff was just thick, and she was sucking on it. You know what I mean? Her face was turning red, and all of a sudden we got her at the hospital, at Bixby Hospital. They're like, she got colic or something. She was just all messed up. She was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days, and we was like, oh, we didn't know that. I'm sorry. Sorry, Greg. Listen. You got to be careful how you give it to babes in Christ, because sometimes they can't take it. That's the other side of it. Sometimes they can't take it. Amen. You know what happens? You give it to them, and it's too hot. What are they going to do? They're going to start that stage of whining and crying and complaining. Amen. The babies, you just got to put them and hold them and just love them. Come on, just act like you got a baby in your arm. You got to just hold them and love them and give them the baby. But the whole time while you hold them and loving them, you're saying, I can't wait till you grow up, because I'm going to whoop that butt. You know what I mean? Just, oh, man, I'm telling you, all this time, amen. Amen. Somebody say the second stage. Childhood. I'm going to be finished, y'all. I promise you. I'm going to be finished in a minute. I'll be finished before one. The childhood stage is the stage of immaturity and silliness. They're not fit for adulthood. Now, there's three different stages in this stage right here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I told y'all, y'all going to get some meat today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Y'all learning something today? Can't you identify yourself? Hopefully nobody identified themselves there. I'm just joking. Guess what? When you first get born again, everybody's there. And when I first got born again, I wanted the pastor to do everything for me. Come on, somebody say amen. He don't got no love. He don't understand my life. He don't know what I'm going through. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. That's a babe in Christ. You know what I mean? Then I go over, and guess what? I was complaining, so that was my diaper. So I would take my stuff over to somebody else's house and say, he don't know what I'm going through. He don't care what I'm going through. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Guess what? I took my mess everywhere I went, because I was a babe in Christ. Amen. Childhood. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Y'all ready for this? Somebody say three stages of childhood. The Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Stage one. I understood as a child. Stage two. And I thought as a child. Stage three. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the word infant and the word child is the same Greek word, okay? So both of them are partakers of the sincere milk of the word. But I want to bring out these three things. He said, I spoke like a child, I understood like a child, and I thought like a child. Now, we already know about speaking like a child, didn't we? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. You can always find a child because they're free with their mouth. I had to correct my 14-year-old all the time. I love her, amen. But that's what you do with kids, because they'll just say stuff. They'll watch TV and they'll be like, oh, everybody's dying. You can say, retract that word. Bring that word back. Quit saying words like that. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 She know I love her. That's my baby. That's my baby. Give her a hand clap, y'all. But I'm saying, I'm not putting her on Front Street or nothing like that. But guess what? You have to train your kids, and you have to train people around you, because guess what? And we have to be accountable one to another, because this is what happened. If you don't train them to speak right, they'll grow up talking dumb. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. You have to train them to speak right, because you have to believe that death and life is in the power of the tongue. See, that's the problem. Church people, we have to believe what Jesus said. We have to believe the authority of the believer. When you speak a thing and you decree a thing, you're going to bring that thing to pass. Whether it's death or whether it's life, you're going to partake of the fruit of what you've been talking about the whole time. Okay? So we got to deal with the speaking like a child. But then he said the second stage, he said, I understood like a child. This one is powerful. Children will get along wonderfully in life if they understand what understanding is. I said again, children will get along wonderfully in life if they understand what understanding is. Understand is two words. It means simply to stand under somebody else's view other than yours. Come on, somebody say amen. Apostle Paul said, I understood as a child. Now, if you go over there to Psalms chapter 32, verse 9, I want to show you something right quick about understanding. I'm not going to stay here very long, but I'm going to show you this. This is powerful. Psalm 32 and verse 9. Anybody learning something today?
Amen.
Now, we're going to see. Paul said, I understood like a child. Watch this right here. Verse 9 says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Whoever had a mule before? Well, you know, when I was a kid, my shirt-tailed grandmother had a mule. She had one called Button, and she had another horse called Vicky. Button and Vicky. She had 15 acres in Belleville. Somebody say Button and Vicky. She had 15 acres in Belleville. Now, if... You know, he's telling us don't be like the horse and don't be like the mule. So we're going to see what the horse and the mule is like. It says, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Here is the analogy. This is what he's trying to say. A horse or a mule have to be directed with a bit and a bridle all the time in order for you to get them what to do what they need to do. That's where we get that old saying, you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. You got to take the horse to the water half the time. See, when you're in that stage of being a child, people have to kind of coerce you or to force you to do things. Come on, somebody say amen. Because you are without understanding. Once you get understanding, you will, of your own free will, understand what they're talking about and follow them. But when you are without understanding, people have to always correct you. People have to always correct you. People have to always, come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Clean up your room. Come on. Make your bed. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Do this. Come on. Do that. But then when you get understanding, you don't have to be corrected all the time, because you stand under their view, so now you do what they do. Glory be to God. You got to catch what I'm saying. That's why the Bible says to be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise of God. See, some things you just don't have to reinvent. Just follow. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't be like the horse. Tell your neighbor, say,
don't be like a horse.
You know what? I don't care how pretty mules are. They some stubborn jokers, ain't they? They can be black and silky, and you can comb their back all the time, but guess what? Don't get on them and start riding them. Lord, have mercy. Here you go. Watch this right here. Here we go, right here. The last one is, I fought like a child. Proverbs 23 and 7. Proverbs 23 and 7. Everybody should know that scripture by heart here at Image of God. For as a man, so is he. You are a direct reflection of your thoughts. In the childhood stage, you don't govern your mind. You just let anything get in your mind. Any old thing on TV. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just hang around anybody. You don't understand the law of association. You just associate with anybody. You just don't associate with anybody. You know what I mean? Just hang around with anybody. You know what I mean? Come on, somebody say amen. That's the childhood stage. So you got to be careful who you hang around with, because whoever you hang around with, you will become like.
Amen.
You will become
amen.
Like. Amen. You will become like. Don't think that you're smart enough that you can hang around somebody and you're so anointed that you can change them. I can give you an analogy. I could stand up on a chair, and I'm a 275-pound man. I can stand up on a chair, and I can get a little kid. They can pull me off that chair before I can pull them up on the chair. What does that mean? Sometimes you got to get yourself together before you start trying to fix everybody else.
Amen. Amen.
See, I'm going to say something to you. This is powerful. You ready? There's two more stages left. The third stage is the stage of adolescence. That stage, teenagers, they think that they're ready to be reproductive, but they're not legally ready to be reproductive. To be reproductive means that you can bear fruit. You can duplicate yourself. But the last stage, adulthood, is the stage where you can legally be reproductive and you can legally duplicate yourself. So you have to determine what stage that you are in. Come on, somebody say amen to this. The third stage, somebody say adolescence. These are hindrances to inheritance. It belongs to us. Amen. Watch this right here. Adolescence, this stage right here, developing from childhood to maturity. It means to grow up, youthfulness, puberty, the stage of physical development, and when sexual reproduction becomes possible. The reason why I brought out sexual reproduction is because we're talking about duplicating ourselves. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, when you become an adolescent, you get into that teenage stage, there's a few things that come with it. Y'all ready for them? You start coming into your own identity. Everything that your parents have taught you, you're fashioned by that, and you're also fashioned by the law of association, peers that you may have hung around with. You develop a mindset, and you start growing. All of a sudden, you start developing belief patterns. Somebody say amen to this. And you start seeing things your way, amen. All of a sudden, you slam your door on your parents because you think your parents don't understand. Glory be to God. This is my room. Don't nobody come in my room when you don't realize that it's your parents that pay for your room. I'm not just talking about teenagers. Y'all gonna catch it in a minute. Rebellion sometimes settles in, and they tend to believe that they know more than their parents. See, when I was with Pastor Healy for 11 years, I was with him, and I would ride upon his grace. Somebody say his grace. I'm going to show you scripturally something. I ride upon his grace because he was praying. He was confessing the word. He had been called to a certain region. I connected with Pastor Healy. And then all of a sudden, I start thinking I knew more than what Pastor Healy knew. Somebody better say amen to what I'm saying. I start thinking I knew more than what Pastor Healy knew. Amen. I was sitting in his office. Come on. I was partaking of his paychecks. And then I thought I knew more than him. You better, Lord, have mercy. You better catch what I'm saying. And this is what happened. I didn't realize how much I knew until I left him. When I resigned, I realized quickly that it was the grace of God that I was under that kept me looking good. Dr. Robert Learden came to our church and he said these exact words. He said, you look good because of the grace of the house. He said, but leave the house and you're going to see who you really are. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. Ain't that powerful?
Yes.
Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. Look at this right here. This is some powerful stuff right here. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. When you get there, somebody say praise his name. Man, it's getting awful quiet in here, ain't it? Philippians 1 and 7. Look at this. It says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Listen very carefully. Teenagers tend to think, ain't it funny how teenagers can have their own bedroom? You pay the light bill, you pay the gas bill, you pay the rent. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And they'll stand up in your face and tell you what to do. Come on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, that's adolescence. See, adolescence is just in adolescence. They're ready to thrive. They're ready to grow. They're ready to expand. They're ready to sow their seed. They're ready to get out there in life and experience it on their own. But let me tell you something. You are going to be in need of a father until the day you die.
Amen.
You better catch what I'm saying.
Amen.
You'll never be that special person that don't need somebody to help educate you.
Right.
My God. See, here's the key right here. When you're staying with your parents and you're partaking and you every day you're sitting down and you're eating some chicken or some steak or some mashed potatoes or some green beans, some cornbread, some fatback, some neck bones, some menudo, some tacos, some chile. You catch what I'm saying? I got to go everywhere because I got all kind of people in here. We all mixed up. Let me go over to the Caucasian people. Some pizza and some, I'm just joking. I'm sorry, I'm just joking. It was a joke. Amen. Huh? The pasta, the hot dogs with the sauerkraut on them. Amen. The macaroni, you know. But you sit down and you're eating that. You know what I mean? My God, you're eating that and you're not realizing that it was the grace of your parents that caused you to even eat. Come on, somebody say amen. Lord, have mercy. Somebody learning something today? See, these are the stages that we have to grow from. See, when you get in that stage of adolescence, all of a sudden you come into your own, which is beautiful because that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to come into your own, but you never realize how important the person that you came from was until you're separated from them. See, what you do is that you grab your inheritance like the prodigal son, and then you take off, and then you realize that, guess what? At my father's house, I had chicken, I had cornbread, I had neck bones, I had fat back, I had lamb chops. You ready? The word partaker of his grace means a co-participant. See, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Can I be real with y'all? I've restored my relationship with Pastor Henry J. Healy and Minister Connie Healy. That's why she's going to be speaking here. I restored it because the Holy Ghost told me to. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, you can't preach authority to people. And you can't preach walking in love and walking by faith if you're not willing to walk in love and walk by faith. If it wasn't for Pastor Healy, I wouldn't be standing here. You better catch what I'm saying. That man of God poured into my life. And see, I expected him to do more. I expected him to do more for me. You know what I mean? Because I was in that stage of being a child. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
I wanted him. I didn't understand why he didn't do this and why he didn't do that and why he didn't believe in me and why he didn't do this. But guess what? A real father won't do everything for you because a real father knows that if I do it for you, you're going to get crippled. You better catch what I'm saying. A real father. Glory be to God. Help me, Holy Ghost. And see. So now, you know what I mean? We're restoring our relationship with them. We're spending time with them. And I'm meeting with them every 2 weeks now because God told me to do it. Come on. Amen. But I didn't realize when I was there that it was his grace that made me look good. He gave me the opportunity to stand up in front of four teenagers to preach the gospel. And he believed in me enough to believe that I would one day expand. And I did. I'm not saying everything was perfect. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying everything was perfect, but guess what? Now that I look back, I realize how valuable he was to me. How valuable his wife was to me and my wife. They were trying to teach us, trying to help us grow. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, that's what real parents do. They train them up in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord, the tutelage, the education, and the warnings of God. That's what real fathers do. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Give the Lord a hand clap. Unfortunately, in society, because fatherlessness is the number one epidemic of our country, of our world right now, people don't know how to respond to a voice of a father. People don't know how to respond to correction. They receive it as rejection. And they don't realize that that correction is necessary because the Bible said that God only chastens those whom he loves. Come on, somebody say amen. Last stage. Somebody say last stage. Adulthood. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. We're going to wrap this up. Y'all learn something today? I'll be done right now. Hebrews, y'all learn something? Get the Lord a hand clap. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. This right here is so powerful because, amen, I just love, this is my life right here. Hebrews 5 and 12. Look at this right here. It says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful. Somebody say unskillful. The word unskillful means that they are inexperienced and ignorant. To be unskillful means that you're inexperienced and ignorant. Somebody say, don't get mad at the word ignorant. See, when people say the word ignorant, people get offended. He called me ignorant. Ignorant means that you lack knowledge. You just don't know. Don't be mad if you just don't know. Be mad at yourself if you're not willing to sit and get understanding and learn to know. Come on. Somebody say amen. Some people think that preachers or anybody, a doctor like Dr. Hall, you know, you have to honor the experience. You have to honor the gift, whatever your profession is. See, I'm a pastor. You have to honor the gift because I don't just wake up and scriptures come to me. And God, Jesus said, this is what you're going to preach today. And he downloaded. No, I study to show myself approved countless hours. I pray in the spirit countless hours. I'm not trying to brag on myself. I'm trying to show you something. It will give you the ability to respect the office. I ain't just up here giving y'all what I think God says. I'm giving y'all what I know God told me to give because I heard from him last night when I was praying in the Holy Ghost. Better catch what I'm saying. So you have to honor and you have to respect and you have to, come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Glory to God. I'm telling you, that's a hand clap worthy one right there. That's a hand clap worthy one. I'm just setting it up for the man of God that's coming. He's going to come and he's going to teach on restoring honor back to the house of God. You know what? We got to start honoring our parents. Not just those that are in the Lord, because if you can't honor your own mom and daddy, don't you dare come and try to honor the pastor. Because as soon as the pastor whoop your butt like your mom and daddy do, you're going to be talking about him all over the city. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You got no honor for nobody. Do you know what happens to people that have no honor? You die before your time. The Bible says that you should honor your parents in the Lord, that your life on earth may be long. You better catch what I'm saying. You got to get some honor in your spirit. Lord, have mercy. We're so busy looking at the man and looking at the woman or looking at the person, and we're not realizing the gift. We're not realizing the purpose behind the person. Hey, in the name of Jesus, boy, I'm trying to tell you something. Look at this. He said, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Back up to 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's making it plain that the meat of the word is righteousness. The meat of the word is righteousness. This is the last stage. In this last stage, you are what is called mature. So I say mature. Mature does not mean that you will not make bad choices. Mature does not mean that you will not make mistakes. Mature means that your discernment is up and you have moved past the stage of murmuring, complaining, speaking the wrong things, dropping dookie over everybody's house you go over. Come on, somebody say amen to that. You move past those stages and you're at another stage now. Let me just back up so I can verify what the dookie is. The dookie is gossip. The dookie is backbiting. The dookie is roots of bitterness. The dookie is anger. The dookie is negative confession. The dookie is on the telephone talking about the pastor. On the telephone talking about the choir director. On the telephone talking about the doctor. On the telephone talking about the, that's the dookie. We can title the message dookie. That's the dookie. Now this is real talk. We are not going to grow as believers because we're one body. We are members of each other. In order for us to grow, you can't be a person that like, I saw, man, it's funny. Where's Minister Stephanie at? This is how most Christians is. I saw this thing. I wish I could have put it on the screen. But it was this guy. He was a one-man team. He stood at the back and he stood in the football field. He cocked the football back. I take it back. He got down and he said, hike. And then he hiked it to himself. Then he got back like the quarterback and he threw it and he ran and tried to catch it. And the whole thing about it was, is that we are all members of one another. We need each other.
Amen.
See,
amen.
Imagine you waking up in the morning and just smacking your own face. Bow. Come on. Imagine you punching yourself in your own throat. I know it's throat, but I said throat. I said throat. Just hit yourself in your own throat. That's what we do to each other. Come on, somebody say amen. Lord have mercy. That's worthy of a hand clap right there. I'm trying to tell you. See, ultimately, God is going to show his glory through his body. I'm not his body. I'm a part of his body. We are his body. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And when we love each other, and we all know who the babes are, and you know when they come. Amen. Come on. Say amen again, brother.
Amen.
We know who the babes are. You know when they come. Come on. We know them when they come. But we have to love them, and we have to keep caressing them, and we have to keep giving them the sincere milk, because one day they're going to grow up. But see, you got to be careful at that next stage. When you grow up to that childhood stage, you know what I mean? And then you start getting silly and goofy, running around, you know, just silly and goofy. Then you got to really be careful about the third stage. We finishing right here. That third stage is that stage where all of a sudden you come to who you are. All of a sudden, everybody in the world is wrong except you. Come on. I was there big time. Come on, somebody say amen. I was there big time. But the Holy Ghost broke me. I promise you, your pastor's broken. I'm broke. I'm broke. I'm broken. You hear what I'm saying? I'm broken because ultimately, you know what I want to see? I want to see Pastor Healy Church become thousands of members. I want to see Bishop Butler's Church become even more thousands of members. Our church become thousands of members. You know what my assignment is? My assignment is to be glue right now. That's what the Holy Ghost showed me, to be glue. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's my assignment, to be glue right now. You know why? Because God's glory being manifested in and through the body of Christ is more important than my own personal agenda. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You may stand to your feet.